Good morning. Welcome to, now I'm really with you. Wake up. Welcome to worship today. We're glad you're here. Draw your attention to a few things in the announcements in the bulletin. Next week, we're going to have a back-to-school blessing. So if you want to bring your backpack to have it blessed, you can do that. Or if you just want to come and we'll say a blessing and pray over kids and teachers as they go back to school, join us next week for that. Lots going on in the next week or so. Neil, do you want to say a word?
Yeah, start with next Saturday, this coming Saturday, the 24th. It's called the John Connor Memorial Lutheran Men and Mission Chicken Barbecue. Probably should be amended to the Holly Grove Lutheran Church Chicken Barbecue. Not just the men's group that does it. Truth be known, we don't really have enough members ourselves to do it. Help from outside of the church, and also members here that help and show up. We'll be putting chickens on at 4 o'clock in the morning at the Lions Club, and things get going here in the kitchen about 9. Any effort you can make to help us would be greatly appreciated. We'll make you a Lutheran Men in Mission member for the day. We'll make you a Lutheran Men in Mission member for a long time. Excuse me. Also, we have, it's in the bulletin, is 7 o'clock. Grace had decided to host the annual meeting of Lutheran Men in Mission for Davidson County last year, but Bex is actually doing it, not Grace, and it is at 6 o'clock. Pastor Matt has confirmed that. That seems awful early. But for you Lutheran Men in Mission, it's 6 o'clock next Monday night at Bex. Thank you.
So don't go by what I put in the bulletin, which was wrong, because we got new information after the bulletin was printed. 6 o'clock is the countywide at Bex. I believe that's all I need to point out. Are there other announcements we should be aware of? At 6:30. Agape Friends tomorrow at 6:30. We wish happy birthday to Tony, Chad, Abby, Kyle, Ariel, Lydia, and Travis this week. No anniversaries that we know of. Is there anybody we should add to that list? Let's pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, if you'll stay with me here for just about 3 slides worth, I'm going to give you some more of these survey results that we took back in the spring. Want to focus on some of the areas of strength that you all reported for this the life of this congregation. And you see there on the left, if you, I don't know if you're able to read from where you are, but the question or the statement on the left says, "I have a strong sense of commitment," meaning to my faith in this church. And there were 41 responses to the survey, and you see that 20 agreed and 21 strongly agreed. Now, the scale looks a little strange because it looks like 21 is a whole lot higher than 20. But what you should take away from this poorly scaled graph is that of all the responses about people's sense of commitment to their faith and to their congregation, nobody said, no, I don't really feel a strong sense of commitment. Maybe that's a self-selecting population a little bit, because these are the people who took it on themselves to take the survey. But still, I think that's a good sign. People didn't decide they wanted to take the survey because they were really upset and felt disconnected, at least. And then here, over here on the right, I have a strong sense of belonging. We have the same thing. Everybody said, yeah, I really feel like this is a place where I belong strongly. If we can go to the next one, Chip, would be lovely. Worship life was consistently one of the things that people felt like was one of the things that happens well here. Worship is joyful. The overwhelming majority said, yeah, I think that describes our place very, very well. And then worship is filled with a sense of God's presence. Again, the overwhelming majority said that describes us well or very well. So those are some places of strength for us as we go forward into the future, to realize that this sense of belonging. And I think I got one more, Chip, a sense of belonging in our worship life. And then this is one that I was just really pleased to see. This place is caring and supporters of members in times of need. The number is cut off, but that's 27 of the responses said, yeah, that describes us very well, that we care and support members in times of need. And then, you know, another 11 said that describes us well. So there is this sense in our community that that this is a place that cares for us, for each other when there's tough times. So we have some real strengths to build on. These are things that you want to see on these surveys. So we're excited about that. We mentioned last week, if you weren't here with us last week, that our results came back, and in all the analysis identified us as being in a lot of ways where we want to be in terms of having some vital work that we're doing, and also being able to sustain that work. But there's always some areas for growth, so we're going to look at some of those next week in particular. These are the strengths. This is the basis for us, though, our worship life, our sense of belonging and connectedness as a people, and the sense that we care for one another. That's kind of our strong foundation, and that's a great foundation to build on. So we're going to look a little bit more next week about where we might go, how we might build on some of those areas where there is room for growth and improvement. If you have questions about any of this, feel free to talk it over with me. I'll show you a whole lot more graphs, but I just wanted you to have a little bit of an idea here and not have to hear me talk too long this morning. So I'm going to hold it there and let me know if you have questions. We'll continue, though, this morning, prepare our hearts and minds for worship with the prelude. I will give you one more heads up. If you've not worshiped with us the last 2 weeks, we're doing a different setting of our liturgy, so maybe pay a little more attention to your page numbers than you sometimes are accustomed to, but it's been going well. You'll know the tunes, I think, so sing loud. We stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue on page 203. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Have mercy on us.
Lord, and hear us our prayer. We come to hear your name.
Let us pray.
O God, judge eternal, you love justice and hate oppression, and you call us to share your zeal for truth. Give us courage to take our stand with all victims of bloodshed and greed, and following your servants and prophets to look to the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated if the children will come this way for the children's message.
Snack with you. It's not going to be that long. Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody having a good morning?
Yes.
Me too. But you know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and things don't quite go the way you want them to.
And you smell bananas.
Well, that's one thing that could happen, smell of bananas. And were you expecting to smell a cheeseburger or something else?
French fries and a cheeseburger.
So sometimes there are obstacles that we have to overcome. Okay, you ever seen anybody do an obstacle race?
Mm-hmm.
Like the dogs do the agility and they run through the hoops?
I've done one.
You have?
Yeah, at our school.
Awesome. So sometimes in life, though, there are obstacles that we think that we can't quite get through. And we have to have some help. And sometimes that help comes from our parents. Sometimes that help comes from teachers.
And a burger, hamburger.
Mm-hmm. That could help you, but the hamburger's not going to be on your side if you fall down and pick you up, is it?
No, but
it can.
Unless it's the Hamburglar, I guess, or one of those the old commercials.
But if you're hungry, you could eat it and you could have more brain power.
That's true on that. Good nutrition, keep you active. So I'm going to show you a little. It'll make you stronger too. You're right. All right, I'm going to show you a video of a gentleman that was one of the best in the world at what he did. Okay? This gentleman's name is Derek Redmond. This is the 1992 Barcelona Olympics. He's the favorite to win the 400 meter.
Stormy sea.
Okay, so I can't watch that video without tearing up. It just it hits you that much emotionally. So sometimes in your life, when you think things aren't going right, you've got so many obstacles in front of you, you've got help. You'll never give up and always have God. So God will get you through those obstacles. So we're going to hear a lesson about running a race. Well, he wanted to win that race, but it didn't quite work out that way. But his dad is the one that broke through the security guards there on the track to help him finish that race. And that's what God does with us. He picks us up, walks beside of us, carries us when necessary so that we can finish the race. All right, pray with me, please. Dear Lord, thank you for being there, for picking us up and walking with us and helping us finish the race that you have set. In your heavenly name, amen. All right, thank you guys. Y'all have a blessed week.
The 23rd chapter. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back? Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart. They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream, but let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord? And like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is Psalm 82, will be read responsively. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment.
How long will you judge?
Give justice to the weak and the orphan. Maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute.
Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked.
They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk around in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken.
I say, you are God's children of the Most High, all of you.
Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince.
Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you.
The second lesson today comes from Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but the Egyptians attempted to do so. They were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better, so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that has been set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding his shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of the Lord.
According to Luke, the 12th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. You ever meet somebody in a brand new relationship who was just so completely head over heels for their significant other that they thought they were perfect, could do no wrong, no flaws? Of course, on the one hand, you're happy for them, right? You're genuinely happy. But on the other hand, you have this thing in the back of your mind just going, you just wait. Because you know that even if this person ends up being perfect, the perfect match at least, even if this new couple spends decades together in love and care for one another, you know that it's also simply a fact of human existence that we are sinful. And sooner or later, somebody is going to cut and peel the cantaloupe wrong, and before it's over, somebody just might end up sleeping on the couch. But early in a relationship, people sort of tend to forget about all the hard stuff, the work that it takes to love each other over the long term. I think what we would say about this phase of a relationship where you aren't yet willing or maybe not even able to see somebody's faults and flaws, we'd say that you aren't really in love with them yet. Maybe you're just in love with the idea of them. And I have to tell you, if your relationship with Jesus is nothing but love and thanks and praise, Well, you might be more in love with the idea of Jesus than the real Jesus. Because the real Jesus is hard to deal with. But you should know that by now, right? You just heard me read that gospel lesson from the 12th chapter of Luke that no one would ever choose to stand up and preach from, I don't think. But here it is in our lectionary. And basically what we heard is a reality check, a wake-up call from Jesus for all the folks who were really into the idea of Jesus more than the real Jesus. Had to be a lot of people who felt that way, right? Wow! Have you heard of this Jesus guy? I mean, he does all sorts of cool things. He can heal people from anything just like that. I heard he calmed a storm the other day just so he could finish his nap. That's nothing. My cousin told me he raised a man from the dead. Well, what are we doing, right? He's just in the next town over. Let's go see him. And the best part is I heard he feeds the crowd wherever he is, so we can get a free lunch out of this too, right? But Jesus does some correcting to people who might love the idea of Jesus. I came to bring fire to the earth, he says, and how I wish it were already kindled. Do you think I came to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. Don't get me wrong, I'm glad that there's so much love for Jesus out there. Jesus is the one who reconciles us to God. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Jesus is the reason we have eternal life. So there's plenty to love there. There really is. But if we love all those things and ignore the rest of his ministry, well, then we don't really love Jesus, I'm afraid. We just love the idea of our own tails being saved. What Jesus is doing in this section of Luke is telling the crowds and us that being a follower of Jesus isn't just about smiling and singing and believing Jesus has got this. It's also got to be about all the stuff Jesus has been talking about up to this point. Like in Luke chapter 6, where he says, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. If somebody takes your coat, you know what? Give them your shirt too." Or in chapter 10, when Jesus tells this whole parable of the Good Samaritan that goes along with the 30 or so other times in Scripture where there's a call or a command to care for the stranger, the neighbor, and the foreigner. Or, just before today's reading, Jesus has just, like literally just gotten done saying that we should all sell our possessions and give to the poor. This is the real Jesus. Yeah, he'll save you. But it's not just so you can sing your kumbaya and feel good about things. It's more than that. Jesus isn't interested in a false peace where people act nice, but where the tremendous brokenness of sin continues to fester. What Jesus comes to do is nothing less than bring in the kingdom of God. And yeah, there will be peace in the kingdom of God, but it's only because in that kingdom sin is no longer present. It's because sin has been judged unworthy of God's kingdom. And creating that kingdom, bringing it in, involves judging our sin. Our sin that wants to strike back at somebody who hurts us is not worthy of God's kingdom. Our sin that stockpiles resources while others go hungry, it's not worthy of God's kingdom. Our sin that fails to care for our neighbor, it's not worthy of God's kingdom. So Jesus comes to bring fire to the earth, the judgment of the kingdom that burns away the impurities of our sin. It only takes a spark, we sing, to get a fire going. And the spread of God's kingdom is like that fire. And this is a good thing. It's needed. Heavens, in this world, it is needed. But it's not necessarily pleasant. It is good, for sure, but it's difficult. And like with many unpleasant or difficult things, not everybody's going to like it. Not everybody will like us either if we are on board with Jesus and the work of the kingdom. Because divisions will be exposed. Not because Jesus wants us to be divided, but because Jesus brings a radically different kingdom, and some people won't like it. If you're doing pretty well in this worldly kingdom, a new kingdom is a threat. And the reign of Jesus was such a threat that they killed Jesus for it. So what Jesus calls us to, the way we are called to live, it will bring division, even among families. But the division is a byproduct, a birthing pain as that new kingdom is delivered. Make no mistake, what Jesus is about is bringing in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is wonderful, beyond our wildest dreams. But the reason it's wonderful is because sin is not welcome there. And not just their sin, right? Not just the sins of those people, but your sin and mine. They are not welcome in God's kingdom. Can't you see it? The glory of the way God intended life to be, where Jesus, the resurrected Lord, reigns over the kingdom in which death has no place, where mourning and crying and pain are no more. This is the kingdom of God, and it's coming. Can't you see it? Jesus asked the crowd. You who can observe the weather and predict when you ought to plant your tomatoes. You who can watch your children jump up and down and tell that they have to go to the bathroom. You who can predict the way that ninth inning of the ball game is going to go. Can't you see this? Jesus says, the kingdom of God is drawing near. Jesus is the one bringing it. And you are called to be part of that kingdom now. By turning from your sin and living in the ways of the kingdom that look like the ministry of Jesus, caring for the poor, loving enemies, looking after neighbor, turning the other cheek. And when you do, best buckle up. The life of the kingdom is life-giving good news, but it may be a bumpy ride. Amen.
Let us say what it is we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 in the hymnal and also on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. Let us bow our heads. Treasuring your promise to hear us when we call, we pray for the church, those in need, and all of your creation. O God, you have given us your word like a fire. Kindle its flame within and among us. Empower us for the work of breaking down walls, reconciling the divided, and building faith. Lord, in your mercy. You formed the furthest reaches of the universe, yet your spirit dwells within each life. By the companion, the keeper of every creature, and redeem all your creation in Christ, Lord, in your mercy. You rise up to rule the nations, guide elected officials, teach the nations to be good neighbors to each other, inspire us all to share food, land, knowledge, and our arts for the common good. Lord, in your mercy. You rescue those in any need. Be with surgeons, nurses, and all medical personnel who care for the sick and those in time of need, especially those listed in your bulletin on our prayer list. Shelter all who need homes and feed all who are hungry. Comfort those who are bereaved. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you for the friendship, community, and witness of those gathered here today. Send us out to welcome those estranged from family or experiencing difficult separations. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and more we ask in your name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit.
Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Oh,
May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We'll say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord until your heart looks like God's heart.